Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. We're ready to get back in our Father's Word. Another topic today, Satan's bargains. You know, you really need to know his M.O., that's to say his method of operation. Even in the garden itself, when he said to Eve, oh, go ahead and take of the tree, atash, which is the backbone of the body, or atesh, which can be an opening or a closing of the eyes. You'll be like us. It'll be fine. You know, he'll always give you what sounds real good. But I guarantee you, if you're looking for a bargain with Satan, there are none. He will destroy you, and he will take your soul and rough it up. And sometimes, you know, the wonderment is there are some people that are so stubborn you have to turn them over to him. And by the time he gets through chewing on them and their life, they're ready to have a change. So Paul would do that on more than one occasion. But with Satan, there really aren't any bargains, but you need to know from God's Word how to prepare yourself to keep him out of your life. Okay? Christ did us one of his greater favors was those that have faith. He gave the power and the authority to control Satan and his demons. He gave us, as it is written, power over all our enemies. That includes Satan. So, to ease into this, to kind of pick up on the tone, Matthew chapter 25, when the 10 virgins were waiting for the wedding, spiritual virgins, that is, 5 of them didn't have, they made it, they were Christians right up to the end, but they didn't have enough oil in their lamp, which that's olive oil, Elayah, and it means they didn't have enough truth sealed in their mind. They didn't have the seal of God totally in their mind to make it all the way to the end. You don't want that to happen to you. But we're not going to talk about that right at this time. I want to pick up on another point beginning with verse 31. Listen to the teaching, a word of wisdom from our Father in Yahshua's name. Verse 31 reads, in this being Satan's bargains, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, that's what we're kind of waiting on, isn't it? Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, right here on earth, okay? 32, and before him shall be gathered all nations, that means all the ethnos, everyone, all inclusive, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. It's going to happen, those that have it, those that don't. Verse 33, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Okay? Verse 34, and then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit, this is important, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What a deep statement that is. Can you grasp it? Some may not have eyes to see it, that's fine. But God's election, as it is written in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, were chosen before the foundations of the earth. Okay. The inheritance prepared before the foundations. So this is why the separation of God's elect and all the nations and all those that believe upon Christ, they're the sheep. You can imagine who the goats are, okay? Those that didn't love God, those that go to the other side of the gulf, naturally. 35, Jesus continues, for I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. You know, now, naturally, this is going to confuse them. When did we do all this? Okay, verse 36. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. And here was, think of Peter and and Paul and me that were arrested, locked up. For what? Not for stealing, but for teaching God's word. 37, then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, and or thirsty and gave thee drink? Question, when did we do this? Verse 38, and when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? When did this happen? 39, and or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? Question. 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. You've helped me through them. Verse 41, then shall he say unto also them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And you see, the reason, you might say, well, why would you cover this as one of Satan's bargains? Because Satan will use Scripture. Satan will visit you in Christ's name. He will visit you claiming to be Christ. And many Christians that read these beautiful passages will say, well, I must nurse this along. I must please him. In other words, you've got to have the oil in your lamp to make it all the way to the end and not be deceived. You will have many, many that come in Christ's name. By that I mean claiming to be Christian preachers, that will come to your door or your meeting and want you to take up an offering for them or put them up or support them, all because they're a stranger in the night. And Satan will allow someone to come in that way claiming to be from Christ, and they will destroy your work. That's Satan's method of operation. Satan knows Scripture, unfortunately, better than most Christians. And he knows how to take the instructions of God through the Son and turn it to his favor. You know, many people say, well, Satan sure likes to work in them bars and dance halls. No, he'd rather work from a pulpit. They're easier. You can deceive church people easier than you can somebody in a dance hall, maybe. Why? Because, in quoting Scripture, you may have a whole amen deacon section, and you won't find a Bible scholar among the whole bunch that'll know, come here from Sikkim. And so whether somebody's quoting Scripture right, they'll say, amen, brother. And they have no idea what was said. I've heard it. Agreeing to error. And I'm not judging anybody, and I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm telling you how Satan works. And you might say, well, I wonder why my church got all tore up and they were just fighting like they were the dance hall down there. Because of Satan and his method of operation. Oh, Satan's got all kinds of bargains for you. Oh, let me in. Let me help you. It'll be all right. Everything will be just fine. And they let him in. In the name of Jesus. That's one of the main things that Christ warns you about. Many, don't be deceived, many shall come in my name. You want to be geared for that. You want to be set for it. Anyway, that one method is probably utilized more in this nation today. In preachers that think the world owes them a living, when they're not really preachers of God's word, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Okay, so let's back up to Matthew chapter 4. Let's get another way that you want to stay alert. Okay, it's really best if you're familiar with the Scriptures, because do you know what Satan uses to deceive people? Scripture. Christ picked a time that it was time for him to go into the wilderness, only he did it a little different because he's so much stronger than we are. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, 40 being the number of probation. He was hungry to show us he could do it hungry. He could withstand Satan's onslaught. And do you know what Satan would use to tempt him? Scripture. You better be on guard, my friend. Satan's bargains, they're out there. They're ready for you. Chapter 4 of the great book of Matthew, verse 1, and it reads, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit," what Spirit? The Holy Spirit, of course, it's for you, "into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." You know, Christ set a path, and we're supposed to watch it, and we're supposed to take it as an example of how to be successful. Devil ever tempted you? Well, beware. Watch how Christ handled it. Verse 2. "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered." And there you caught it. In that wilderness, 40 days and 40 nights. Let's watch how he handles it. Verse 3. "And when the tempter came to him," that's Satan, "he said, if thou be the Son of God," if that's who you really are, "command that these stones be made bread." Now understand this, Christ hasn't eaten for 40 days. He said, I know you can do it. If you're really the Son of God, make this, turn this into bread and eat. You're hungry. And of course, Satan's using Scripture here, okay? So Christ answers with Scripture. You know, you gotta be familiar with the Scriptures pretty well to follow along with Satan's method. That's why it's important, because Satan will quote Scripture, but he'll always twist it. And you've got a big deacon board that'll all say, "Amen, brother." They don't know it was twisted, because they're not students of God's Word. They're amen deacons. And I'm not judging anybody. I'm telling you to be on guard. Verse 4. "But he answered and said," this is what Christ said, "it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Deuteronomy 8, chapter 3. I'm sorry, chapter 8, verse 3. Christ quotes back to him, okay? And so it is. It is written. How many questions Christ would answer when he walked the earth? Haven't you read it? It's written in the Old Testament. That was the only testament there was at that moment. Haven't you read it? Why are you asking me? It's there. But naturally, we could go in a later into the minor prophets, and we could take the book of Amos, and we would learn in the 8th chapter that the hunger, especially in this generation, is not for bread, but for hearing the word of God, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Every word. Verse 5. "And then the devil taketh him into the holy city," this is Jerusalem, taking him right downtown, "and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple." I mean, we're up here in God's house. I mean, we're up in a high pinnacle of it here. I mean, you can't get much holier than God's house, right? Okay. Verse 6. It's according to who you're there with. Got it? Verse 6. "And saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God." You see, that's what he always wanted to be. That's why he, instead of protecting the mercy seat, he tried to sit on it. He wanted to be the Son of God de facto. "Cast thyself down, for it is written." Satan quoting Scripture here. Do you understand? Now, if you be a Christian, do you know if he's quoting this right or wrong? Let's read it and see. Satan says, "It is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time," don't you let those words escape your mind, "lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Okay. Now, God doesn't put on any sideshows. Let me ask you a question. Utilizing common sense, everything God does has a purpose to it. Okay. Now, if you're going to do something stupid, like go out here and jump off of a five-story building, what's going to happen? Using God's law, utilizing God's law and common sense, if you go up in, for no reason at all, go in a five-story building and jump out, what's going to happen? Gravity is going to take over and you will smite thyself against the earth. It will kill you. Wise people don't do such a thing, and God doesn't put on sideshows. Satan twisted that scripture. That's not what it says. We'll talk about that a little more later on. What did Jesus say? Verse 7. Jesus said unto him, "It is written again." You want to play with scripture? Christ said, "I can do it with you." Hebrews, the living word. "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And that's all that would be, is strictly just tempting. You know, you'll have people, you'll have Christians today, and I'll just slip this in here, maybe somebody needs it. "But God, if you're real, part this little stream for me so that I can walk over just to know that you're real." That's stupid. Absolutely stupid. "God, if you'll do this, I'll just know you're real." If you don't know he's real already by the word, hey, just push on off. Go find something else to do. Satan's already got you in his little sack of bargains. Your father is a very, very intelligent being, utilizing common sense, and that being the base of that that is natural. And anything aside from that is perverted. Shun it. Stay away from it. And let's continue on here. Verse 8. "Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world," not heaven, "of the world, and the glory of them." And he was the prince of the air, prince of the night, and it was his hour. It was basically his if he could take it, all right? That is to say, if he could con somebody. Verse 9, "And he saith unto him," to Jesus, "all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." That's what I want you to do. It's all yours. All you got to do is do that. Verse 10, "And then Jesus said unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written," again, "It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thy serve." Deuteronomy 6:13. True scripture. And when Christ told Satan to get behind him, there he still sits to this day in heaven, guarded by my call, until the time he'll be booted out on this earth. But he's got a lot of bargains. Verse 11, "Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him," that is to say, Christ. Boy, I don't know how well are you founded in the scripture to know how much Satan lied. Because some of that is just about 90 degrees away from what God really said in where it's written. So, you see, that puts a Christian to quite a task if you don't have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The living word. The word became flesh. I don't know. Can you be had? Can you be deceived? If some scripture lawyer comes along and starts quoting scripture to you, do you know when to say enough? Or can you be had? I mean, Christ showed us the way. That's why, and he hungered 40 days and 40 nights to be at a very weak state for him, to make it kind of even, to show us he could still cut it. He could still do it. Well, how did Christ answer Satan? By Scripture, by the living Word. God didn't go off and leave us defenseless. He gave us authority over all of our enemies, and that includes Satan or any of his followers. Unless you can be had through deception. Okay. Now, what did Satan say there? At any time, Jesus will protect you. Those angels will pick you up and lift you up. That's not what the scripture says. Go with me to Psalms. Hold your place here in Matthew, basically, but go with me back to Psalms 91. Let's go back and see what was really written. You know, that's why you want to always check it out. Or you could be had. Psalms 91, as you're turning there, and we're going to pick it up, if we may, with verse 11. It's all good, but for the sake of time, I'm going to drop down to verse 11, where Satan, you know, he knew Scripture. You got to know that. And you better know it. Satan is very good with the Scriptures, only he's a liar. He cannot help himself but to change it. So in verse 11, Psalms 91, here's what God actually said. For he shall give his angels charge over thee. They're going to be watching out for you. As it's written in Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, your angel will have the face of God at any time he's needed. If you be one of God's set aside ones, okay? You heard my qualification. He will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Did it say anything there about at any time? That's a whole big difference. In all thy ways. Who is the way? Christ is the way. Christ is the path. When you're doing it his way, God's angels will always reach down, take hold, and see that you make it through. But not like Satan says, at any time. It's got to be on the way. And the way is Christ. And he was trying to tempt Christ. Fat chance he had of that. Even after 40 days. You know what 40 means, don't you? That's probation. He went the full line of probation to show you that he could do it, and then giving you the power and the authority to spot lies of Satan and to stay in the right path, to stay in the right way, always, not at any time, but to tempt him, to put on a circus. I don't know, have you ever... Well, what do you mean, brother, a circus? You mean you have a television and you're watching me now, and sometimes when you're surfing around, you didn't see a circus in a church? Don't give me that. And again, I'm not judging, and I'm not knocking anybody, but you familiar with Satan's bargains? That's why we're teaching. Verse 12 of this Psalms. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. You see, Satan quoted that pretty good, except for one thing. He left the way out of it. And said, any time you want to say circus, put it on. Do you know why Satan wanted Christ to fall? The next verse tells you. This is what had Satan really bothered, and that's why he would quote this scripture. 13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. And you know what an adder is? That's a snake, a serpent. Satan was one. The young lion and the dragon, that's Satan, shalt thou trample under feet. And that's the way it is, and that's what Satan was worried about. Satan was told by God himself the first prophecy in the Bible, in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, I will put enmity between thy seed and the woman's seed. The woman's seed was Christ, and his seed was Cain, through which was of the serpent, and the Kenites all to this time, and the very serpent himself at the end is the dragon. I will put enmity, and he, you shall bruise his heel, and his heels were nailed to the cross, but he shall crush your head, trample on your head. Scripture. Christ knew it. Did you? You see, Satan is sharp. He's slick. He knows how to deceive people. especially if you play church. Don't, playing church is a dangerous thing. If you're not familiar with God's Word, then you want to keep plowing until you are, basically. And pray for guidance. Pray for His leading in your life, the way, and don't get off the path. We all do at times, but we're human. But then He picks us up and He protects us, carrying that word forth. Or Satan loves dearly. Turn back to Matthew 24. Matthew 24 is again where Jesus would warn you of how it would be in the final generation. And you won't have it, but as you're turning there, this is not where we're going to start, but this was the first warning when He gave us the seven things which are inclusive of the seven trumpets. The action, telling you exactly what's going to happen. And what He warned about was Satan's bargains. He stated in verse 3, these things will happen at the end, and this is how you will know My coming. And then He says in verse 4, and Jesus answered and said, take heed that no man deceive you. You be careful, for man will deceive you. For many, verse 5, for many shall come in My name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. I'm a Christian preacher. I come in Jesus' name. Open your door and let Me in. Let Me preach to your congregation. Satan's M.O. when Christ warned you in the end, it'd be worse than it was in the beginning. Kind of sad in a way, is it not? How that man will do. Now, let's go down to verse 21. Knowing that, okay, that Satan's tribulation, he's going to deceive a lot of people. Not maybe, not perhaps. It's going to happen. And he is coming first. We studied just recently in the two tribulations. His is first. Verse 21 of Matthew 24, and it reads, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. That's how it's going to be, the deception. That's why he said, be careful of those that come in My name, claiming. You get the word yourself when you understand it for yourself. 22, and except those days shall be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But, listen carefully, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. They were shortened from 3.5 years to 5 months, period. Now that's Revelation chapter 9 gives that to you. Okay, it's God's promise He would shorten it. Revelation 9, the words of Jesus tells you how much. Verse 23, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Now, do you know what that means? That means that in that tribulation, somebody's going to come and say, he's in the desert. He's over here. Go see him. Go talk to him. Hear his preaching. He's a fake. He's spurious, which is to say he's illegitimate. Don't believe it. As long as this is real simple, and perhaps sometimes I oversimplify, but when the real Christ comes at the seventh trump, you're changed from these flesh bodies into a spiritual body. And as long as you're in a flesh body, if you can pinch yourself and it kind of smarts, he's a fake. Hasn't happened. Don't believe it. Don't be deceived. When your destiny is to stand against that one, not to be taken into the nest with him and be impregnated spiritually where you're no longer a virgin waiting for the true Messiah. Verse 24, for there shall arise false Christ. Did he say maybe? No, shall. Absolute teachings of Christ. Do you believe Jesus or do you believe a bunch of you know what? People that come in his name claiming to be Christian teachers. Or do you believe the word of God? For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Oh, the rest are easy. All he's got to do is come and say, I've come to rapture you out of here. Be supernatural. Snap his fingers, as it's written in Revelation 13, and lightning come down from heaven in the sight of men. They'll go nuts. Just to put it quite plainly, they'll go nuts with his power and his authority at his revival, where he is preaching the word of God, only just twisting it. And the deacon board will say, amen, brother, amen. Be careful, my friend, of Satan's bargains. Christ is warning you. Verse 25, behold, I have told you before. But where did Jesus tell us before? All through the word of God. You don't need another prophet. You don't need another visit from an angel. All you need is the word of God. It is written. To know and to understand that you are not to be deceived, that you are a child of the living God, and God is jealous. I do mean your father is very jealous. You go whoring around after a spurious Messiah and worshiping something else. It infuriates our Father. It bubbles his wrath right up to the top until it spills over, and that's when the seventh trump sounds. I don't know. Can you be had with Scripture? You know, anytime you see a three-piece suit, do your face light up and say, we're going to have a Bible study? You want me to tell you how you know you're going to have a Bible study? When somebody brings this forth and lets it do the speaking, the Word of God. That's when you're going to have a Bible study, not from some three-piece suit. Apparel won't cut it. It's the Word, and the Word only, that will allow you to survive in this generation without embarrassment. I don't know how you fixed, friend. Study God's Word. I do not teach this manner to frighten someone, for many have trouble memorizing the Word. Just stick to it and pray for knowledge. God will never deceive you, and he will never place more upon you than you can handle, than you can cut. But don't be taken in. Don't be taken in by Satan. He's going to make a great try at it. It's written. Tribulation worse than there has been since the beginning of time. That's pretty bad, friend. But it's all a lie. Don't, as Jesus said, don't believe it. Don't go there, as he said in verse 23. It's going to happen. You're told beforehand. How can you be fooled if you're told beforehand that the fake's coming first? I'd say it'd be pretty hard. All right, hey. Don't miss the next part of this lecture in the next broadcast, okay? It's something we all need to be aware of and on guard. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada, Newfoundland. Got a question? You share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular individual, a revolving rev, or an organization. Let's just teach God's Word. Have you noticed He's pretty good at judging? Let's just leave the judging to Him. He brings it out pretty clear as to who's your friend and who isn't. And Jesus is always your friend. Don't ever forget that. Always. Always. Okay, those of you that listen by shortwave, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. Your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. You got a prayer request, you can do away with the number. You don't need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. It may be real hard for you to believe, but He loves you. He may not love what you do all the time, but He does love you. He cares. And all you have to do is talk to Him, and He has promised, I will hear you. I will assist you. You always pray in His will, because He knows what's down the road and what will hurt you and what won't. Let Him answer prayers as He knows for your benefit. He will always bless you. Father, around the globe, we come and ask that You lead, guide, direct, Father, touch in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Okay, and we'll get into some questions here. This is Wendy from Georgia. My grandfather's name was Bradley. Did you ever know him? He was a Marine. Did you ever know him? If so, can you tell me even the smallest piece of insight into a very important person to me? I don't care if he had, I don't care if you know bad of him. I still want to know I can take it. I knew a good man, so nothing can change how I feel. Wendy's talking about her grandfather who was in the Corps, and he was up at the Chosun Reservoir with us. Would you please answer, if you have any knowledge whatsoever of him, if you can help it, I would be very grateful. Would you please answer this for me during the question and answer program? Thank you for all you've done, continuing to do for our children's and our freedoms and security. Well, simplify right back to you. I cannot say that I knew a Bradley. I don't know if it would have been your grandfather or not. There were 12,000 of us there. And I can tell you, your grandfather coming through and living through the Chosun Reservoir, I can guarantee you he was a strong, good man, blessed of God, or he wouldn't have made it, okay? Those were bad times, 40 below zero and 120,000 Chinese surrounding us. And we fought our way out. He was a fantastic man, and it's you do me proud to know that you're proud of one that served in both World War II and the Korean conflict. And he was in a group that says, give me a few good men. That's all it takes, okay? That doesn't take anything away from any other branch. But you be proud of your grandfather. It's very difficult for me to say whether I'm sure we brushed in passing at some time, because there weren't all that many of us up there, and we all had to stick pretty close together. He was a good man. You can count on it, all right? He proved himself over and over in just pure hell. All right? Good man. You be proud of your granddad. Simplify. Brian from Missouri. Ezekiel 38 and 39. Does that battle start at the same time as Armageddon, the gathering place of the crowd? Yes, it does. Armageddon is Ar is city or hill, and Megiddo is the gathering place of the crowd. Armageddon, okay? And Haman Gog is the name of the other battle that you mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And Haman Gog is the burial of Gog and his multitude, because they're going to be buried there. Why? The same place, and who fights the battle? God does. You don't win when you go against God. God will bring hailstones weighing a talent, which is anywhere from 120 to 180 pounds each. No equipment that exists on this earth today can withstand that kind of beating. And it is God that will bring it upon them. Why? They don't believe in God. God doesn't want us to defeat them, our enemies. He wants to do it so that they can say, God is real. And they're going to find out the hard way. God is very real. Eugene from Tennessee, I am having trouble staying right. What is a good solution to keep right? Well, keep breathing, first of all, okay? Breathe good, clean Tennessee air and read the good word of the living God. You know, don't ever think you're going to be perfect. If you were perfect, you might turn into one of those goody-goody two-shoes. Do I like goody-goody two-shoes? Well, they're kind of self-righteous hypocrites because nobody's perfect. Christ set the example, but we all fall short. I'm not trying to discourage you, but I'm saying you keep trying, and the way you do it is you stay in God's Word. Be sure you repent when you do stray from straight, okay? God will always forgive you. You know why? He loves you. He died on that cross, spilling His blood that you could be cleansed and forgiven by it. Boy, you can't go any further towards proving love than that. Leanne from Minnesota. Leanne, I'm not going to answer your question on television. I'm just going to say there's no problem with what you want to do, okay? You just pray about it and let God lead you, and you'll be just fine. Just fine. You and your husband will, okay? Diane from Michigan, I would like to know if you could find out from Pastor Murray, Pastor Arnold Murray, what book, chapter, and verse it was that he mentioned your angel has God's attention for you. Please tell Pastor Arnold Murray and his sons and all of you as well that I thank you for keeping God's Word coming through. Well, you are so welcome, and we're glad that we can do it. In the scripture you're looking for, I mentioned during the lecture today, is Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. And God means it. It's for His saints, us set aside ones, God's election. Their angel has the face of God at any time they need help. You know, a lot of people not understanding the Old Testament, when Elisha climbed this hill and there was hundreds of thousands of enemy over that hill, and he told his armor bearer, let's go get them, two people. The armor bearer says, whoa, wait a minute. And Elisha says, God, could you just part the veil and let him see how many other people are here with us? And God saw fit to do that, and He parted that veil, and there was an army exceedingly great above them, and that army charged, and it scared the enemy so bad that most of them killed themselves trying to run away. But God is in control. That's why you want to sure have faith, but you always want to be careful. You always want to be on guard. Never let Satan steal any of God's thunder to mislead you or anyone else, okay? Gene from Missouri. When God created Adam, He wanted to create man in His own image. If He created all the others before Adam, what did they look like? Well, look, that's not what He said. He said to the Elohim. That's plural. That's all of us. Let us make man look like what we look like now, and we do. Okay? Only Christ. God made Himself in His own image, and that's why Christ would say, when you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Okay? Also, when a girl wrote you, she was looking at her neighbor with favor, and was she committing a sin, and you told her no. Doesn't the Bible teach if you so much as look at another to lust after them, you commit sin? Shouldn't you have told her to repent and stop it? You're putting words in her mouth. She said he was cute. That little 12-year-old girl wasn't lusting after him. Those are your words out of your mouth. You know, if you're going to teach, learn to listen to what is said. Lust means to... She didn't go over... I'm saying things now I don't really want to say. You're an adult. You know what I'm talking about. She wasn't lusting after the boy. He was cute because people like you preaching in churches. You just can't even look over there. It's God's nature and His beauty. I'm going to enjoy it. It's God's creation. But that doesn't mean that you're putting the make on everything that moves. Okay, that's lusting. Love even falls in a different category. So it's, you know, too many people are driven away from the church because of uptight teaching that strays from the truth of God's Word. And I'm not scolding you. I'm saying look at reality and don't be misled by what some person that comes in Jesus' name claiming to be a Christian preacher is putting out for truth. Okay? You're going to drive young people away from the church if you do that. If I were to have told that little girl that, she might have said, I don't even want to be a Christian if I can't enjoy the cuteness of my neighbor. Who wants to be like that in innocence? So you have to look at reality and recognize lust for what it is and friendship for what friendship is. You know, Christian friendship is a beautiful thing. Let her enjoy her Christian friendship. You live from North Carolina. Would you please give me the scripture that says God will not put more on us than we can handle? Thank you. Well, we did cover that in last lecture. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. That's His promise. And He's telling you there, though, don't miss the first part of that. He says, nothing is going to happen to you that doesn't happen to everybody. And a lot of people like to get on a poor me baby trip if they're not careful and say, mine's the worst. Every time I stump my toe, it hurts worse than when somebody else stumps theirs. A bunch of malarkey, okay? It's going to happen to you, get set for it, but He's always going to bring you through. It'll always heal and you'll always be just fine. Ella from West Virginia. Jeremiah chapter 10, would you please explain about the tree they cut down? And they're making an idol. It's not a Christmas tree, and don't ever let anybody tell you it is. They cut down a tree and whittle out an image of it. It's an Ashtaroth. And worship it. Nobody worships a Christmas tree. Do you know why the Christmas tree is picked? Because in the book of Hosea, God would say, I am a great fir tree. Do you know why God said He was a fir tree? Because it's evergreen, meaning ever living, symbolic of ever living. So don't let Satan steal. Do I have a tree decorated? No, I don't. Okay. But back when my sons were small, we did. Why? Some groups, when they bury someone, will take evergreen leaves and sprinkle into the closing of the grave because of eternal life. Okay. I do not belong to that fraternity, but I'm wise in doing funerals. I know what I see. So, following this lecture will be the completion of Satan's bargains, and then I'm going to do the Christmas story on which will show Friday and Monday in some places of what it's really all about. All right, so don't miss it. Okay, then you'll know about Jeremiah 10. Don't let Satan steal joy from our people in celebrating the conception of Jesus Christ. Don't miss the second lecture from now, please. Mary from Florida, what is spurious Messiah? What does the word mean, and where can I find it? Well, you can find it in your Webster's Dictionary, S-P-U-R-I-O-U-S. I'll spell it again. S-P-U-R-I-O-U-S. It means illegitimate, a bastard. Christ, that's what he's called in the Old Testament, okay? And that's why I use it. Kathy from Tennessee. Okay, I wanted to let you know how much my husband and I appreciate. Well, you're so welcome. We enjoy teaching. I do have a question. I know that God's word never changes. However, after Satan is blotted out, will the scriptures that reference him be blotted out also? Naturally, I would not know that, but I do know God's word will never change. And it says he's going to be blotted out, but it says the word will never change. I do not think that will be blotted out also. Why? Well, good people can handle it. That's no problem. Okay? Robert from Florida, do you believe that the book Apocrypha is inspired? Part of it is and part of it isn't. Okay? The two books of Esdras are simply the Greek word and pronunciation of the Hebrew word Ezra. And the Masora backs up parts of those books of Ezra, Esdras, I should say, in the Greek and the Apocrypha, which they're right. And I think one of the greatest Bible stories ever told is in the Apocrypha, and it's the book of Daniel in the Apocrypha. And it tells how people should be careful how they judge, okay? So part of it is, part of it is. Kathy from Florida, if you carry a baby to full term and it is stillborn, will it go to heaven? Absolutely. Any child below the age of innocence, and that's different for different people, goes to heaven. They're innocent, okay? God isn't going out every morning and say, I wonder who I can send to hell today. He goes out trying to save people. Christ came to save sinners, not burn them, okay? But what must be, must be. But innocence is the youth, and they're fine. Sarah from Arkansas, what happens to people who are not Christian when they die? Read the 16th chapter of Luke and what happened to the rich man, and you'll have it. 16th chapter of Luke, when the rich man died and went to heaven, you'll find out paradise. Peter from New York, I often hear it said that God's love is unconditional. If that were true, then couldn't a Christian just sit back and do nothing? Is this right? Unconditional is false. His love intuitively is for those that repent, okay, in salvation. But every promise God makes has a condition. You know what the word is that sets the condition? Usually, not 100%, but mostly, is IF. If. I will bless you and I will forgive you if. And you have to do so. You've got to repent, or you've got to do his work, and then he'll pay you. God is really a good taskmaster. No working, no pay. Okay? That's the way it goes. Ardell from Wyoming. No work, no blessings. All right? I love his blessings, so I wouldn't miss out on that for anything. Ardell from Wyoming, when they were building the Tower of Babel and God gave them different languages, was he concerned that they would discover something, or why did he confuse them? They were plotting to go around God's way of destroying the Geber, the giants, the infiltration by fallen angels that messed up his plan of salvation. They were trying to build a tower all the way to heaven without God's help. They were going to find a way they could go to heaven without God. Do you know something? When you leave God out of the equation, it will bring him down. That's the words that are used in that chapter, 10th and 11th chapter. And cloning has a lot the same effect. It will bring him down. When man tries to work his own salvation out, when God sent a Savior, that's a bad no-no, okay? They were working out their own salvation. They wanted to get above the floodwaters and enter right into heaven. Here we are, God, like it or lump it. Melvin from Tennessee. In the newsletter about nothing hidden, you talk about the 8 dispensations. I thought there were only 7. Well, for most people, they think there is only 7, but they're not aware of the first earth age. They leave the first earth age out. And quite frankly, if you, as a Christian, do not understand the first earth age as to why we can find a mammoth, an animal that's extinct now, that's 50,000 years ago, that's a tooth, walking this earth, they're stunned. And what I call a Bible thumper. This earth is only 6,000 years old and God says it. But he doesn't. They're lying. Okay. God says it's millions of years old. So, anyway, there's 8. All right. Don't leave out the first earth age. Okay. Anna from West Virginia. Can you please give me the scripture where God explains about lying in wait to commit murder? Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 11. Deuteronomy 19, verse 11. Okay? He that lies in wait, that makes it premeditated murder. Different than killing. I'm out of time. Hey, I love y'all a bunch. You know why? Because you enjoy studying our Father's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. You don't want to be had. You want to please God. And you know something? That super pleases Him. That brings His blessings upon you. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God. He will always bless you. One thing more important, though, set a little time aside each day and get into His Word. Every day in His Word, it's a good day. Even with trouble, still a good day. You know why? Because Jesus, Yahshua, He is the Savior and the living Word.
Is to